Good afternoon, Tim.
Good afternoon, Tom. A bit grey here today.
Yeah.
Sadly, the sun has gone. It hasn't got its hat on today.
Stark contrast from the beautiful weekend, although I can only apologise if anyone had poor weather on Sunday. In Newcastle and Lyme, it was absolutely beautiful weather. However, it seems like the divide between Newcastle and Stoke-on-Trent was much greater than it usually is at the weekend, as I received multiple texts and emails from people across the border, as it were, in Stoke, saying that it was grey skies outside and the weather wasn't very nice. So I can only apologise. I would say something about the fact that Newcastle Baptist Church is in Newcastle itself, and therefore Newcastle is the superior town, but I risk riling up half our congregation. So I won't do that, and instead I'll just say that we hope that you're able to have a lovely weekend for what bits of it were nice outside.
You're living very dangerously, Tom, and half and half vote on for you or against you, I'm not sure. As a resident of Stoke-on-Trent, I can assure you it was very grey on a Sunday morning, but it was lovely to see you in the sunshine, Tom.
Good.
And made you look amazing, and we were so glad that it was sunny in Newcastle under Lyme, I have to say.
And it was wonderful to hear from Pauline. Of course, Pauline, the first guest speaker. We're not going to be asking you to compare her and Tim's sermons, but it was really lovely to hear from her. And I don't know if you're looking forward to this weekend's preacher.
Tom Watts preaching.
Who's that guy?
Yeah, well, a real guest, a real find. And we'll look forward to hearing what you have to say, Tom. Looking at John chapter 21, I think, as the encounter with Jesus and him and Peter, which
the chapter
is amazing.
After the one that we're going to be spending a bit of time in today.
Yes, which is good. And
it's been great hearing your 40 Days with Jesus podcasts throughout the week as well. There's been all sorts of talks that have been given by Tim on hope and joy. And today we're going to be focusing in on the next one of those 40 Days with Jesus daily podcasts as we expand it into our NBC Connect podcast. Today, we put these out every week. They normally come out every Wednesday morning, failing any technical issues. And it's a good opportunity for me and Tim to have a bit of a chat with one another, a bit of a catch up as well, and also to share some news from the fellowship if there is things that people are wanting us to put out there.
Yep, and it's a great way of keeping us connected. And it's really great to hear that you're engaging with this and enjoying this in-depth look at these particular passages. And of course, this time has given us, perhaps for many of us, more time to actually dig in a little bit more, so, and to get into that routine. And we'll look forward to continuing this journey with Tom on Sunday and as we move into next week as well. But today we're going to be looking at John chapter 20 again, and verses 19 to 22, and Tom's going to read those for us now before we dig in a little more detail into part of this passage.
So this is Jesus appearing to his disciples for the first time altogether. Verse 19, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Verse 21, again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
It's a fantastic passage, and Pauline helped us on Sunday to just think about this aspect of peace, particularly when Jesus comes into our midst and gives peace and shalom. And she dug into a little bit to what shalom means, because it's a really rich word that the word peace doesn't really do justice. So I hope you'll catch up with that and listen again to what Pauline had to say, because I think that helps us greatly. But I think the first thing that strikes me, Tom, in this is there's two moments when Jesus breathes peace on them. And the first one, as a result of their fear, locked in their room, isolated because of fear for the Jewish leaders, and Jesus gives them peace in the midst of their fear. But then the second time, it's as a result of their joy. because they've been transformed, because they've seen Jesus, who showed them his hands and his side, and they were overjoyed. And if you were listening to the podcast yesterday, I think, you'll have heard the little story of how with the Inuit people trying to find a word for joy in their language, the only thing the translators could come up with was the wagging of a dog's tail. Which does that always mean joy, Tom, in your experience?
Well, for our dog, wagging the tail sometimes means pay me attention.
Oh, okay.
It sometimes means I'm hungry. Sometimes it means I need a poo. But sometimes it does mean I am full of joy right now. And the only way I know how to express this would be through either barking, which I know you humans don't like, or the extreme wagging of a tail. What an amazing analogy that is of joy.
Yes.
I haven't met any Inuits to ask them their exact opinion of it, but it really, that is such a true statement, probably about 65% of the time for our dog.
Cats are different, aren't they, I think? Cats are angry when they wag tails.
I don't talk about cats much.
No, okay.
But, you know.
For those who had cats,
yes.
I'm sure cats display joy in some way that you could translate this overjoyed to. But what's interesting is that in their joy, Jesus brings peace as well. So peace isn't something that's subdued and passive. Peace is something that is a result of Jesus being there. And that transforms every situation into something more than we can ever understand or comprehend. So this peace is not just quietness and sedate and you know, just stillness. This is something that's powerful. And I think what, again, is very interesting as you dig into this passage a bit more, is that as a result of the second batch of peace that they received, Jesus then gives them something to do. You know, again, peace isn't that's it, this is the end of the story, you can just settle down now to retirement and everything's going to be all right, put your feet up and everything's going to be fine. No, there's something that's coming out of this peace. Peace is that state of our minds and our bodies, but actually it is to prepare us for something else. And this sense of sending, this sense of this new purpose, as the Father has sent me. Tom, you got a phone call.
I'm so sorry.
Don't worry. Anyway, as I was saying, Tom, there's a sense of purpose, this peace that is active, that is sending them out as well. And it's like Jesus is preparing them for something more than this. And this also is about that this peace is not something private, although it is personal, but it's not something that we keep to ourselves. It's something that we go out and share with. So there is this sending, this commissioning, this co-mission. I love that thought that we're not on our own in this. It's a co-mission. And we're mindful of the person who's sending us out as well. That it, as the Father has sent me, Jesus says, I am sending you. It's amazing to be sent by Jesus, really. It's an amazing thought. And imagine what that could do. I remember at school, actually, if the teacher asked you to do something, were you the first one to put up your hand, Tom, if it meant going out of the classroom?
I think it depends entirely. I was often the first one to go out of the classroom for other reasons, but if the teacher asked me and I knew the answer, I would always put my hand up. And there was a beautiful moment in our religious studies. I'm going to assume that my old RE teacher isn't listening to us today. He was a very lovely man. He still is a lovely man, actually. There was a moment after kind of our second week of the year seven when I had been putting my hand up for a lot of these RE answers and no one else in the room had. And he kind of kept me back after the class. And I was kind of a little bit worried. I was an 11-year-old boy, sort of wondering, what have I done wrong? And he simply wanted to ask me, you know a lot about this. Do you go to church? And to which I kind of was able to say, with a slightly look of glee on my face, yes, I do. So, yeah, if I knew the answer, I put my hand up.
Well, I would always put my hand up if the teacher needed an errand running, which meant actually ducking out of the lesson as soon as you could and then taking as long as possible overdoing
it. Oh, I did that many times.
But the thing that sticks in my mind is that when you had to go out of the classroom, the teacher would write a little note that was almost like giving you permission to be out of the classroom. You
hall
know?
Pass, they call it,
a
don't they?
A hall pass, that's it, Tom, yes, a hall pass. So that if anybody stopped you and wondered why you weren't in a lesson, you could just get your magic piece of paper out and show it to whoever it was asking you to prove that you had permission, that you had been sent out by the teacher for a particular purpose under their authority to go and do it. It was as if the teacher was doing it and you were doing it on behalf of or in place of the teacher. Now, this is a very long-winded illustration to say that we go out with the hall pass, if you like, and it's in the authority of Jesus with his name written on it, as if we're doing it instead of him. Mm. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Somewhere along the line, anyway.
Yeah.
And that's the amazing thing that transforms this word of Jesus into something that is active, that is important, and that is so powerful, because we're doing it on his behalf, as if we're him. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. So Jesus was doing things in the name of the Father. We do things in the name of Jesus, with his authority, with his power behind us as well. And that's why he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. We couldn't do it in our own strength. But with his presence, his power, we find this purpose that is compelling us on.
And for those disciples, they were huddled up in that room together. We know that they were scared. We know that they were worried about what was going on around them. And Jesus' words were chosen very carefully at this point. Yeah. He said, peace be with you. He could, in theory, have said to them, I told you so, or used other words that he said in the past, kind of things like, ye of little faith, why did you not believe I would do these things? But instead, he responds with the words, peace be with you. Such calm, soothing words that if we were to hear it right now in our situations, I know at the weekend I felt very blessed as I was listening to the words, peace be with you, and Shalom said repeatedly through the sermon. It was almost like a prayer washing over me every time I heard it. But then Jesus' choice of words, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you, is so important. Because for those disciples, even if they just heard the words peace and they saw Jesus, that's all well and good. But Jesus came back to them to set them off on a mission. I know that over the weekend, I'm going to be talking about some more of this commissioning and focusing on one of the disciples in particular, Simon Peter, and his response to Jesus's commissioning. But for those disciples at that point, he was giving them their instructions. And we know that the disciples were the forefathers of the church. So what Jesus said to them on this occasion and through his encounters with the disciples over the next few weeks, and that's all it is. It is a matter of weeks that Jesus was with them. The disciples were able to be set up through the power of the Holy Spirit to become the messengers and sharers of the good news about Jesus Christ in this day and age that we're still being blessed by and receiving now.
And we're an example, aren't we, that they did go out in the power of the Spirit, because the good news didn't stop, the good news carried on, you know, and 2,000 years later, here we are talking about Jesus, still with the same mission, the same commission.
And if you think through history, the number of leaders and dictators and people that have tried to stop the message being shared. Even now, we read of countries where there is extreme oppression, where Christians are killed for having faith. And yet, we only have to look at places like Open Doors or even speak to some of our own missionaries in that we're linked to as a church to realise that this community of believers, these people who follow Jesus, who believe in what he said and what he is still doing today, are still out there and they are still communicating the good news. Sometimes it's not as public as we might want it to be, but it's still going on. You know, I was intrigued to read earlier this week about prayer and the response across the world of how people have been looking at prayer as we've gone through this COVID crisis. And I saw an amazing statistic that has come from the University of Copenhagen, so I have to trust it reasonably well, that for every 80,000 new cases of COVID a country saw, the number of prayers or Google searches four prayers doubled. Now, I'm going to assume that most people who are Christians are praying throughout this crisis. And I'm going to guess that a lot of those requests are coming from people who are searching. And I think when I read into this passage, I can't help but think that the way that we should be responding to this is as Jesus has commanded us to do, to be sent out. Now, what does sending out look like for us when we're all locked inside our homes, able to go out for one bit of exercise a day and to do essential shopping and caring? That's the challenge for us. What does this sending look like? I think for us, some of this is about us sharing the gospel with the people that are around us, in your homes, in your friendship circles. Find ways of sharing what we're putting out at the weekend. Maybe you felt touched by a podcast this week. We had an amazing story, didn't we, that came into us last week of someone in our congregation who was able to share what we had been putting out there with somebody who came to their door. Yeah. And it's just these remarkable little stories of people who are holding onto this faith so firmly and going a step further than just holding onto it, internalising it, making it your own private thing. They're taking this message and they are going out and sharing it in the ways that they're able to in these strange times.
And I think that these times have pushed us into doing things that we maybe had thought about doing but never got round to or didn't know quite how to do it, but now we've got to do it in terms of getting our services online and even doing these podcasts. But I think also the challenge is to each one of us that it's pushed us, each one, to think about a little bit more, how do we in our current situation continue to help people, continue to serve people, continue to love people, encourage people and share the good news. And I think that opportunities come with every challenge, and I hope and pray that every one of us will continue to hear what Jesus has to say and to move out to do what it is he's called us to. It's the same mission, and we're not alone, but with the power of his spirit we take confidence to continue to share this amazing news of Jesus.
I suppose as we come into land this afternoon, I kind of have thought through this idea of what if or when a cure or a vaccine is found for this horrible disease that is all around us at the moment. How will we respond to that? Will we be sharing it with everyone we know on Facebook, on WhatsApp, on social media, with our friends? Will we be phoning up people with pure rejoicing? Will we be excited? Will we be singing about it? I'm sure there'll be songs that will be made about cures. We know that it will come, and we know that having a discovery like this would remove so many people's fear and anxiety in that moment, to know that this is no longer a problem for us as a nation. When we put that in the context of what Jesus is saying to us here today, how do we respond to this news that Jesus is alive, he has risen from the dead, he has come back to be able to save each and every one of us from all of the things that have happened before in our lives, from all of our fears, from all of our anxieties, from all of our arrogance, jealousy, envy? You can name any other things that affect people in our lives. How do we respond when Jesus says these words to us? Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. I think our response to that is to recognise that Jesus has washed over all of what we've done before, and he is commissioning us as believers in him to go and spread this message to everybody. We would share the news of a vaccine like wildfire. Let's do that with the words and love of Jesus from this passage. Shalom, peace be with you.
Thanks, Tom. It's been good just to dig in a little bit more to that, hasn't it? And let's continue this 40-day journey together, and let's see what else God wants to do in the midst of it with us and through us as well as we take on this mission we've been given.
As we finish this morning, we want to spend some time in prayer with you, and if you want to pray along with us through these prayers, please feel free to.
So let's pray. I'm going to use some words from the Psalms as we just bring our thinking together and our praying and our petition to God this morning. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Lord, we thank you that you are the one who never leaves us. You are utterly faithful in times of sorrow and joy. On mountaintop or deepest valley, you lead us and sustain us. You are our shepherd. We pray for those who face greatest challenges in this season, those who have underlying health issues, the weak and the elderly, those with disability, those caring for children with special needs, the lonely and the faithful. Lord, may your presence bring strength, hope, and peace. You are our shepherd. We thank you for all those in the emergency services, those who are risking their own health to keep us safe, those overwhelmed and exhausted by the demands placed upon them. Lord, give them encouragement, energy, and wisdom. You are our shepherd. We trust in you. Psalm 13 reads, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? And day after day have sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy triumph over me?" Almighty God, we pray for those touched by sorrow today, those who mourn the loss of a loved one, those who despair for the suffering, and those who weep in the watches of the night. O Lord, have mercy. We pray for those who fear, gripped by a sense of anxiety and locked doors, choked by doubt and living in hopelessness, full of unanswered questions. O Lord, draw near. We pray for those who wrestle with their thoughts, who feel isolated and alone, who are living not just in physical but with emotional and spiritual separation. O Lord, remind us of your unfailing love. The psalmist writes, Psalm 13, verse 5, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Thank you, Tim, for joining me for this podcast.
It's been a pleasure, Tom, as always.
It's always good.
I'm looking forward to next week's already.
Before this podcast today, I think I was saying to Tim that I was feeling a bit down this morning, and I'm sure many people probably know that feeling all too well. It's grey outside, it's been a bit of a funny odd time, but I felt really overjoyed, much like the disciples felt, as we've gone through this journey together today.
I think that this is the real experience, isn't it? That these are life-giving words. And I think the more that we draw on them, then the more that we will find that joy. It doesn't change the circumstances around us, but it changes how we approach them and how we try and make sense of them and how we even use this time to be a blessing and to be a voice of good news to the people who we meet as well. So this church is a very uplifting place to be, isn't it? With some amazing people who have experienced the presence of Jesus in very different, challenging circumstances. And we know that this is going to end and we will be able to come together and continue to share the good news of Jesus together. And that our community would know that good news as well. And I'm praying hard that as we move out of this time into whatever the new normal, so to speak, looks like, that we're going to see people coming to know Jesus who are going to find life in him as well, Tom. So that's my prayer, and that's what we're going to trust him for.
Instead of a witty ending today, Tim, I think it seems appropriate to recount the words of Jesus in verse 21. Peace be with you. And as the Father sent Jesus, he is sending you, me, and all of us from this church. Shalom. Peace be with you.
Shalom.